All right, welcome back to the Honors Element. I'm Morgan Vincent, and I'm here, as always, with Ben Lear. And Ben, today, we are pushing into one of those, wait, that doesn't add up, corners of chemistry. If you just listened to last week's breakdown of ionization energy and electron affinity, you might be ready for a twist. Because, honestly, if you try to make an ion by ripping an electron off one atom and sticking it on another, the math says it always costs energy. Always. Even in textbook perfect cases like potassium and fluorine, you add up their ionization and electron affinity, and surprisingly, the total is still a positive number. You lose more from ionizing than you gain from attachment.
Yeah, and I love that this is one of those moments where the universe just doesn't hand us easy wins. Like, you pull off the first electron from potassium, which actually costs you 419 kilojoules per mole, and then fluorine grabs it, and you get back 328 kilojoules per mole. You do the subtraction, and yeah, it's not zero. You're still out about 91 kilojoules for each mole you create. And that's about as favorable as it ever gets, given that the lowest ionization energies and the highest electron affinities just never quite overlap, not for any elements.
So for anyone keeping score, this is not nature wants these ions. It's more like nature will do it, but only if there's something even more rewarding around the corner. Which, if you remember our previous deep dive with the Shell model and periodic trends, it's exactly why atoms are so picky about gaining or losing electrons in the first place. They're chasing stability, but they're not giving out electrons for free.
I mean, we toss around the idea of atoms happily forming ions, like sodium just pitches away its electron, but if you only look at the energy math at this stage, it actually looks like it's a losing prospect. The energy ledger is in the red, and yet we see all these stable ionic compounds around us. So what gives?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the first part of the story is kind of an anticlimax. But when we come back to the process, instead of stopping at the point where you've just got separated ions floating around, well, that's where the real magic happens.
And that's where Coulomb steps in. So after you've paid this price to make a pair of ions, let's stick with potassium and fluorine or sodium and chloride. The next act is all about the crazy strong pull between those opposite charges. It's all Coulomb. As soon as those ions get even a little bit closer, the system's potential energy just plummets, and that more than covers what you paid to separate the charges in the first place. In fact, as the ions approach each other, the energy drop can be several times larger than the cost it took to make the ions at all.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most interesting energy shifts you see. The closer they get, until obviously there's too much repulsion at super close distances, the greater the stabilization. That's why you end up with these crazy high melting points, like sodium chloride at, what, 801 degrees Celsius?
801, exactly. And even that's just a baseline. I want to throw in the, what is it, the chemical harpoon analogy. This was actually John Polanyi's idea. He was a Nobel laureate. He talks about a metal atom basically hurling an electron at a halogen. And once the transfer happens, it's like tossing out a rope, this instant, super strong electrostatic rope that yanks the other atom the rest of the way in. Once they're ions, that Coulomb attraction does all the work.
It's such a brilliant mental image. The harpoon isn't just poetic, it's actually how the process runs in the gas phase. Once the electron handoff happens, that attraction is so strong that the atoms zip together, pulled by the rope of electrostatic force, and settle at a bond distance where attraction and repulsion balance out.
But just to keep it real, all of this happens overwhelmingly in the solid state, right? Out in the real world, these ions don't just make molecules floating around. They line up in massive crystals where every cation is surrounded by a sea of oppositely charged anions and vice versa. The energy stabilization just keeps multiplying because of all those neighboring attractions.
Exactly. And that's what makes the payoff so massive compared to the price of making individual ion pairs. It all comes down to actual structure, that three-dimensional lattice giving you a stabilization that just can't be matched by isolated molecules or neutral atoms. So, if we pull back and look at the big picture, you start off needing to invest some energy just to make the ions. But the moment you start packing them together in a solid, the return on investment jumps. It's not just one sodium ion next to one chloride ion. It's each ion surrounded on all sides by a whole network of neighbors, each contributing its piece of Coulomb stabilization. The net effect is huge.
Right, and the model's pretty simple here. The solid isn't just ionic bonds between pairs. It's like each ion is at the center of a crowd, everyone pulling on it, so you've multiplied that stabilization. And that's why these solids are so incredibly robust. It takes a lot of energy to break them apart, which is why those melting points are so high, and why, going back to what you said earlier, they only conduct electricity as liquids because the ions have to be free to move, and in a solid, they're utterly locked in place.
Which also circles back to something we hit in a much earlier episode when we talked about how energy, potential energy in particular, really rules the behavior of atoms and molecules. The system always wants to fall to lower energy, and in the world of ionic solids, forming that extended lattice is the final, most stable destination. That's ultimately why salts like sodium chloride are so common and so persistent in nature.
And, not to get too reflective, but it reminds me how the chemistry we see, real rocks, minerals, the salt in the sea, has its roots all the way back to these simple but surprisingly unforgiving energetic calculations. Everything's about finding that sweet spot where the math works out in favor of stability. And if you want to see what happens in the next energetic balancing act, the one chemistry still loves to argue about, then you'll have to stick around for the next episode.
Love that. All right, Ben, I think that's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us on the Honors Element. Ben, always great chatting with you.
Likewise, Morgan. Have a great week, everyone. You too, Morgan.